Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The wife hath made herself ready. He leaves, he's preparing a place for her. While he's preparing a place for her, she's staying faithful to him. Are y'all following the analogy? And while she's waiting for that, for him to come get her, are y'all following? She's doing some things here. And one of the important things is preparing her wedding garment. She is sewing it, making it clean and pure, just so that white, anyway, we'll go a little bit before that. But she's doing this while the husband is preparing a place. At an unspecified time, normally, traditionally, it was about 12 months. During a Jewish, this time would be about 12 months. It's been longer than that since Jesus has left us, but still it's an unspecified time. And it was normally at night. The groom would come unannounced. In other words, he wouldn't send her an email or text, hey, I'm on my way, you know. He would come unannounced, bringing with him an entourage, And when they come to the gate of the house of the father where the bride's living there, they would sound a trumpet. That sound awful familiar to y'all? And announce his coming. Well, the groom would return to take the bride away to live with him in the home that he had prepared for her. Although the bride was expecting her groom to come for her, she did not know the timing of his coming. She just knew he was going to be here. She needed to be ready. And if she wasn't ready for that wedding day, in other words, her garment wasn't prepared and she wasn't ready, she and the groom would both be ashamed. It would be a shame if he shows up and her wedding dress is half done. Or, you know what, are y'all following some analogy here? We're going to get into this next week. I want to lay some groundwork for you, okay? She and the bridegroom would be ashamed as he would take her away back, because they've already done this. They're already married. He'd take her back to live with him. After the groom received his bride together with the female attendants, she had a wedding party. He had a wedding party. He brought one with him. When she leaves, she takes some attendants with her. And they would go to the father's house. The whole entourage would go back there. Are y'all kind of seeing a parallel? Okay. After he received the bride together with the female's attendants, the wedding party returned to the groom's father's house, where the wedding guests are already assembled. They were waiting on them. There were people already there waiting on them. The bride and the groom would enter into the huppah chamber. Now, the huppah chamber is what's called the bridal chamber. Again, I'll never forget years ago when we went to Israel, that we had and I was studying this years ago. We had a Jewish guide that would take us through Israel, and I forget his name. What is his name? You remember his name? Anyway, I was sitting, because I always ride in the front of the bus. If I go on a plate trip with y'all, I'm getting the front, because I get car sick. If I ride in the back of the bus, you could forget it. So I got to ride right in the front, you know. So I'm, matter of fact, the kids, my brothers and sisters used to be mad at me. We had a family of four with mom and dad. There were six of us, and I would always get in the front seat with the air conditioner blowing on. So that was in the old days when, if they had air conditioner, there wasn't no air conditioner in the back, you know, and I'd sit in the front and air blowing, and my brothers and sister get mad at me because I'm sitting in the front. But the truth of it, I'd get sick if I rode in the back, and that wouldn't be pleasant. Anyway, I'm riding right behind our guide, and I asked him, I said, Yuri? Is it Yuri? I think it was Yuri, something like that. I said, Yuri? Tell me about the huppah chamber, H-U-P-P-A-H. And as soon as I said that, he had a big old smile on his face. The huppah chamber. And it's called huppah because it sounds just like what takes place there. Huppah, huppah, they have a good time in there, you know. they're just married. And they go into the huppah chamber, the bridal chamber, and they consummate their marriage. Remember, they've not come together yet. And in that huppah chamber, the first thing they do, they go in there. The wedding guests are waiting outside. They go into the chamber. They consummate the marriage, and the bridegroom comes out. By the way, before she goes into the huppah chamber, the bride remains veiled so that no one could see her. Why is that so important? Remember the story about Jacob and Leah? This is the way the Jewish weddings took place. Jacob wanted Rachel. But oh, wasn't it Laban? Well, he was a trickster. He was something else. Jacob worked 7 years for Leah, and the dad tricked him by putting Leah in the place, and Jacob didn't know because she was covered up. Can you imagine that? Wake up the next morning, literally, and Jacob looked over at Leah in the next morning, and I thought you were Rachel. How do you think that made Leah feel? What am I, chopped liver, you know? I mean, anyway, because she was veiled, okay? They go into the hoopah chamber. She's veiled. They consummate the marriage. He comes out, and you've heard the story, and it's true in most cultures, that he would bring out the sheets. They had blood on them. And you know what that would mean? It would show that she was true and faithful to him, that yes, she was a virgin. She was a chaste virgin. And he would show it. She was faithful to me. She was faithful to me. They'd celebrate. And he went back in to the bridal chamber for 7 days. We talk about the tribulation. It's interesting. 7 days while the guests stayed outside for 7 days celebrating and the wedding feast. It's interesting. Upon receiving the good news, the wedding guests remained in the father's house for the next 7 days, celebrating the great wedding feast. During the 7 days of the wedding feast, the bride and the groom remained hidden in the hoopah chamber, for 7 days. Afterwards, the groom came out of the chamber bringing his bride with him, but this time with her veil removed so that everybody could see her. She went in veiled. She comes out unveiled. This was the way that weddings were conducted, Jewish weddings were conducted in Jesus' day. And it's so important to understand when we get in this thing about the marriage and to understand the analogy. When we talk about the bride hath made herself ready, let me read the rest of this. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of, what's that next word? Of saints, not of the Lord. We get to heaven because of the righteousness of him. Our righteousness is his filthy rag. But this is so clear. It's the righteous of the saints. It's a plural word in the Greek. If we translated it, and I'm not sure it's a good, we translated it right, and that's why I didn't translate it this way. The righteousness is the acts of the saints, the acts, the bride had did something, her deeds, to prepare herself for this wedding. And let me finish, time's running out. And we'll talk about the bridal relationship next week. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And one other thing, and I'll be done this morning. That word called literally means invited. Blessed are they that are called. They are invited to the marriage supper unto the Lamb, of the Lamb. You never would send an invitation to your bride to get married. Are you following? You send an invitation to the guest. In other words, when me and Latrice got married, I did not send an invitation to Latrice, and she didn't send an invitation to me. Hey, will you come to our wedding? Of course not. The wedding's for them. We invited guests and friends to observe us. So it's very important when we get into this study about who is the bride and who are the guests to understand the print. And I'm not stretching. It's literally what the Word of God says. Blessed are they that are called, invited, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true and faithful saying. And one day we're going to rejoice and be glad and jump for joy when we see all this take place. The important thing, are you ready? Do you know him as Savior? Boy, I sure hope so. You need to know him if you don't. Our Father, we thank you for the morning, for the study, Lord, for this beautiful wedding that will take place in the future. Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus. It's all about him. And Lord, I pray that today, as every day, that we're focused upon you. Again, thank you. Bless our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And come visit us this Sunday, August 21st, for special guest speaker, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd. Sheriff Grady Judd will be with us August 21st at 11 a.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church. You won't want to miss it. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.